The world didn't end when the Gulf Stream changed pattern. The world did change. The scientists were right in 1977. By 2031, global warming was real. Ice and fire would describe the next 2,000 years. It started slowly with massive flooding. The ice came with a flip of the magnetic poles and a change of axle tilt to 22%. There was time to shield. How and where was the question? Plans were created, rejected, and built yet again. Shielding from the star beating through a depleted atmosphere could be done. Must be done. That fire would burn and devastate the lands not covered with ice. Ice stretching from the uttermost north to what was Kansas in old North America. Europe was not to be spared. Asia covered to edges of Mongolia and even into Pakistan. The composition of the sea was broken by the influx of fresh water, its food chain ruptured, dead and dying. Yet plans were made and executed. Not everyone made it into the freeholds. Underground cities built and sealed against the volcanoes, climate accesses, and marauding bands of once humans ravaging what was left above. Now it's time for the freeholders to come to the surface. Their instruments show a repaired atmosphere, something only time could have done. The oceans, lakes, rivers, and streams were healing and life returning as measured by scouts venturing into the wastelands. Exploring the remade world and a new beginning starts now. Ian Kyleson's story intertwined with the deadly dangers involved with humans returning to the surface. It's the year 4062.
Hey listeners, I'm Tracy Babian, casting director and production script editor for the Kyleson Chronicles. And today we're going to be talking with the author and producer of the Kyleson Chronicles, J.A. Babian. Thank you for allowing us to interview you on short notice.
No problem. You're welcome.
Okay, if you could, give us a short synopsis of where you came up with your idea for the podcast.
I actually had been listening to Lore, which is Aaron Mankey's broadcast, and I dreamt it. Now, some of the ideas have been running around in my mind for 20 years, but the actual inkling to start writing came from that dream.
Okay. And where do you live currently, then, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, I live in Enid, Oklahoma. We're an Air Force town. We have an advanced Air Force base down just south. We've been here for about 5 years. And I think we're going to stay because it's convenient to have most everything we have to do.
And isn't your storyline is based on Oklahoma and the land?
It's in Oklahoma. It has to do with an area called the Wichita Mountains Wildlife Reserve. That area is a geological sound area that hasn't changed really in 550 million years.
Okay. In the book, you talk about where they live, and when you say that they live underground, what exactly are you referring to?
When the cataclysm, and I'll use that term because I want you to listen to the podcast to find out what the cataclysm actually is, they decided that they were going to prepare because they could see it coming, and they dug a hole in the side of a mountain and built a whole city underneath it.
Oh boy. Now in your book you mentioned the term once human forester. What and where did these beings come from?
Okay, the forester clan of once humans were the people that were left to take care of the forest, the wildlife refuge, and their families, and the people of Medicine Park, Oklahoma, who banded together and survived outside of the freehold. There were 17 freeholds in total across the world.
Okay. What do they look like?
There are different species of once human. The particular ones that we're talking about, the foresters, are very tall and slender. 7'5" is an average for the males, 7'6" to 7" for the females. They all have the recessive gene that causes humans to grow six fingers and six toes, but they are very thin and tall.
Okay. Now, there was another group of people you called the Lawtones. What are these people like, and are they indigenous to the area you set their dwellings in, and how do they come to be there?
They also were left outside when the freeholds were built, and they were living in a town called Lawton. The Lawtones term comes from the English language that changed and evolved over 2,000 years. They actually devolved. They're more primitive than the humans of today, and a lot less primitive than the Forsters.
Okay. So what was life like living in the side of a mountain for over 2,000 years then?
Except for the fact that they couldn't go outside, and they were stuck there. They had pretty much everything that that we do or would think that we need. Power came from biofuels and biofuel generators along with the solar array on the top of the mountain.
Okay. You said biofuels. What do you mean by that?
Biofuels today, even now, are created out of algae.
It sounds like you're taking Nathan Lowell's idea. Kind of, sort of.
Well, yes and no. This is real. I could point you to a website where they're actually sold. They figure that it'll take over 15% of the fossil fuel need in the next 10 to 15 years by 2025. Really is when the kickoff point is. And they're much like diesel.
Well, when was the first time that the scientists and whatnot actually came up with the idea that we were going to have a problem with the ozone?
My first recollection has to do with a publication called Life Magazine and then Time Magazine. Both ran articles in 1977 when I was graduating high school.
Okay, so these people, the U.S. in particular, they've known about this for quite some time then.
Yeah, at that time they were tracking chlorofluorocarbons, which are what comes out as propellant in the old aerosols. And what was going on was that it was ionizing the ozone layer, and that allowed more solar radiation through to affect us.
All right. You mentioned solar flare. What is a solar flare, and the ice melt of the poles in the Earth as we know it today, how is it affecting that?
Solar flares are essentially explosions, eruptions of gas on the surface of the sun. They disrupt our magnetosphere, which has an effect directly on the poles. The poles move as this happens and as we wobble, because we don't actually spin like a top. And at that point in time, the poles have flipped in prehistory.
Okay.
Which means that north becomes south. Actually, when you get technical, east becomes north as far as magnetic is concerned.
Oh, cool. So it kind of turns.
Yeah, it tilts us.
Okay. Well, why didn't you just read the book online, folks, instead of a podcast?
I started to read it online just as a book. But I got to thinking, I could probably take this to a script and reach more people. The whole concept of podcasts mean that you keep the language less scientific and more of what everyone talks and how what they talk about.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Was it hard to get voice actors to help with your project?
Yeah, a lot of the people that we have working with us are first-timers. We have some old pros like Tomcat, who has been around for a long time, and he's very good and really will anchor this.
Okay. I know that here recently I've gotten in touch with Charlie Walback, and he's actually going to be doing all the narration for us, which is awesome because he's got such a deep voice.
Yeah,
wow.
And his GMC commercials will sell every time.
Yeah. Okay, what is your intent on telling the storyline with this idea for folks today in 2021? And then we'll close the podcast down.
I hope to reach a few of them. I'm really not here to sell global warming or to sell catastrophes. What I'm here for is to have a little fun, and even if I just reach one, I've done my job.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. I can only record for so long. So we're going to put this one as part one of the question and answer for J.A. Babian. We will be doing the second part here just shortly and get it out probably sometime next week. We're going to be doing this every 10 to 14 days because that gives us time to do all the mixing and matching of things. We've got some interviews coming up with, like, Alice Randall from the UK. Anyway, well, I'm signing off, and I'll see you in 14. Bye.